Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. A little shiny happy people. That's pretty much what we're all about here at Vashon, Voice of Vashon. Tom Walston here with you. I'm your host for Adventures in Recovery. Welcome. Thank you for being here with us on this beautiful Tuesday, which started out a little foggy this morning. The ferries were backed up. As usual, when this kind of happens, there's a lot of fishing boats that those giant ferries have to kind of navigate around. Once again, I want to welcome you all. And for the next half hour, we talk about adventures in recovery. And we've defined this every week about recovery. It's not just about drugs or alcohol or anything in particular. It's about recovering and reclaiming some wonderful aspects about our lives and just making us shinier, happy people. Be that as it may, I have a fascinating guest this week, as I do pretty much every Tuesday. And I like to interview fascinating people that are Vashon residents because there's so many talented people on this island and people that have had some incredible experiences in their life and that continue to be of service in enhancing other people's lives right here on the island. So stay tuned for future Tuesdays when we continue to bring to light some of the beautiful personalities and beautiful people we have here on Vashon. There's a really great event coming up in the very near future, and that's going to be on September 28th. And I have a fascinating person here by the name of Jessica Anakir. Anakar, let me turn your mic up a little bit.
Thank you.
There you go, and Jessica. And just speaking with her for just a little while before the show, I mean, speaking with Jessica, she could take up a two-hour show easily. She's had such a fascinating background. But here today she is here to talk about the Vashon community event being prevention of opioid and fentanyl overdose deaths. And if there's any of you out there that for some reason are under the impression that fentanyl and opioid use is not present on Vashon Island, well, we're here to give you a little shot of reality. Jessica, welcome to the show, and I'm so pleased to have you today.
Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it. We've been seeing a lot in the daily news with stories from around the country about increasing presence and impact of opioids and fentanyl. Drug overdoses are climbing everywhere. In the latest data from the Seattle Times, emergency responses have quadrupled for youth ages 17 and younger suspected of overdosing on opioids. Opioid overdoses killed 3 young people a week on average last year in Washington, and youth emergency department visits for opioid overdoses tripled. We are seeing the impacts here in our island community. And more than that, what we really want to do is to have the community education and awareness to prevent anything from continuing to impact our young adults, especially. On Saturday, the 28th, members of the Island Navigation Network, a committee of the Vashon Maury Community Council, are sponsoring an open house at the Land Trust Building from 11 to 2 p.m.
I just wanted to mention for some of us that aren't real familiar with the layout of the island, can you explain exactly where the Land Trust building is?
The Land Trust building is right next to U.S. Bank and the fire station on Bank Road, just a little bit west of the main intersection there.
Okay, very good, very good.
Yep.
And well, keep going. You're doing great.
Thank you. There will be two presentations at 11 a.m. and 12:30 on how to use Narcan, as well as how to use the test strips to test for fentanyl. I think this is a really important issue. Speaking with community members, there have recently been several incidents suspected of drinks being drugged and suspected rapes going on afterwards. So we're very, very concerned right now for our youth and for our community, making sure that we stay safe. We also will have Varsa there presenting an overview and sign up for October 22nd, the Youth Mental Health First Aid Training. I have taken this training. It is a wonderful training. I think everyone should take it. It has excellent tools in how to talk to people about what they're going through and prevention that we can all do as a community. We will also have Vashon Island Fire and Rescue. They will be doing demonstrations about how to use the Narcan, as well as how to use the test strips. And they will also be speaking to their mobile integrated health. And we will have the urgent medical care from the Vashon Healthcare District as well. So you will have several chances to learn about these important things that are going on in our community for prevention for overdose deaths. And we will have plenty of Narcan provided by King County to hand out to the public so that everyone can make sure that they have it and carry it with them, have it on hand. That's one of the ways that we can stay safe as a community. There are no negative impacts to using Narcan on someone. So if there is a suspected overdose, you don't have to worry that you might harm someone. It is being suggested that absolutely everyone have the education just in case. And I think that the more that we as a community have this awareness and have this education and are able to have these conversations, then the safer that our community is.
That's right. That's so important to know. And in piggybacking off on what Jessica said about there is no harm to the person that is dispensing the Narcan, the Good Samaritan law comes into effect, so you will not be held accountable if there's any negative responses for that. Probably the most, maybe the only negative response might be from the person that you whose life you are saving because you're interrupting their high, which is sounds crazy maybe to some people, but you know there's a reason that people do drugs, and that is to feel better and to, well, to feel better. That's kind of sums it up for whatever they're going through. And so you, when even though they may be close to death with an overdose, you're still interrupting that high. And that's why it's always important to let the person know, I'm giving you some Narcan right now. And then while you're doing that, have another person call 911 as fast as possible. You do not have to tell the 911 operator it's a drug overdose. You just have to tell them that the person is not responsive and needs help immediately, because there could be some stigma from the friends or people that are with the person experiencing the overdose of paranoia because the police may be involved and this and that. So to just bypass any of that, we just say the person is not responsive. So Jessica, you mentioned something briefly about drinks. We used to call it roofies back
yes,
in the day.
Yep, there have been some cases recently on the island of suspected roofing of the drinks and sexual assault. And we want to, you know, we want to prevent anything from happening. It's really important to have the education on how to test drinks, to be really careful and safe about having open containers when you're out at events or when you're at parties. But also really to be aware that no one is getting separated and isolated. Take care of each other, pay attention, watch out. If you are noticing behavior that you think is suspicious, then tell someone and do something. Recently, I had a conversation with a King County Sheriff's Police officer, and also I work for Crisis Connections 988. I answer suicide calls. A large amount of our suicide calls right now are related to fentanyl use, because it is very, very, a very big cause of the mental health crisis that we are seeing right now in Washington State. And what I really hope that we can be aware of is what the police officer spoke to me with, which is that fentanyl is getting into all substances right now. So this isn't just about, a certain method of using drug overdoses for overdoses. It is also getting into marijuana. It is also getting into cocaine. It is also getting into methamphetamines. And we're seeing a lot of that, in people don't necessarily know that they're taking fentanyl, which is why learning how to use the test strips and really providing education is so important right now.
So are there other substances that people are using in drinks to basically knock somebody out?
You know what? That is a great question. I actually don't know that. I wouldn't be the one to know what they're actually using in the drinks. I do know that there has recently been several reports of people believing that someone had given them something that made them black out and then they were sexually assaulted.
Okay. So, I mean, so some of the precautions a person can take would be, and this doesn't just happen in bars. Yep. I mean, let's be really clear. Yep. Anybody that let's just call him the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. It could be at a family function. It could be at a picnic. It could be at a high school event. It could be anywhere. What do? You cover, well, one option would be cover your drink. Or maybe always have your drink in your hand and not set it somewhere and then later come back to it.
Yep. Covered drinks, keeping an eye and making sure that you don't ever leave it and walk away. If you do walk away and leave it somewhere, throw it away. Again, test strips. If you suspect that anyone is having, you can carry. The pharmacy also has test strips that you can carry with you. And then also really paying attention that no one is isolated from the group.
Oh, good point. And if you see somebody in trouble or all of a sudden acting out of character, showing signs of being sleepy or wanting to go take a nap, or these could be very, very definite signs that there's something in their system that shouldn't be in there.
Again, yes, absolutely. Those are good things to pay attention to. And again, you want to make sure that person is not left alone or isolated from the group in any way, and that you're watching to make sure if they need help.
So Jessica was saying there are fentanyl strips available, and those will be available at their event on the 28th, as well as Narcan kits. You can get Narcan kits at the pharmacy, but I believe there's a fee for those, and they're not inexpensive at all. But you can get them through the fire department.
That's right.
You can get them at Vashon Youth and Family Services. I always try to have a good-sized supply there, as well as fentanyl test strips. So the fentanyl test strips, let's talk about that for just a moment, because people get a strip and they say, well, yeah, but how do we use this?
You know, I have to admit, this is going to be my first time getting to see them used and having a demonstration at the event on Saturday the 28th. So I'm really excited. We will have the demonstrations on how to use the fentanyl test strips, and we'll have them on hand.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not that much different from an actual COVID test, something that we've all had experience with.
Yep.
And it's a very simple test strip with one control line that you always want to see show up, and then the test line, which will show up if it is a positive reading with fentanyl. Are there other, well, I'm not even sure if you would know the answer to this, if there's other drugs that would show up on that test strip in addition to fentanyl, probably.
You know, I don't know the answer to that right now. I that is a great question. We'll have to ask our presenters on Saturday. But it would be good to know exactly what it tests for.
Absolutely. I mean, these are questions that I want to bring to the table too, because that I need answered. And I'm a substance use provider. I'm a substance use professional.
Yeah.
Used to be a provider, maybe back in the day, but that's a whole other story. But once again, please take note. Land and Trust Building, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. There will be two presentations, and that is this coming Saturday. So these are just one of the many events that we want to make aware.
Yep, we will have plenty of Narcan on hand. King County has offered to give us Narcan for the event, so everybody can take some with them and have it on hand.
Good to know. And also, the presentations are only 20 minutes each. And the actual presentation of how to save a life from overdosing is going to be at 11 a.m. and again at 12:30 p.m. That's this coming Saturday, the 28th. And just FYI, now that I think about it, if anybody ever wants to replay any of our previous shows on Voice of Vashon, if you just upload the app on your phone, and it's just Voice of Vashon, and you just go to archived shows for any show on Voice of Vashon, you can re-listen to it. And this show, once again, is called Adventures in recovery. And you can replay any show you want. There's a lot of information that is not only just timely for events such as Jessica's promoting that are coming up, but other tips and techniques for living a fuller and happier life. So the other people that are co-sponsoring this event coming up, and there's going to be a lot more of these coming because there's other areas that we just need to get the word out to the public, and these are all free events. But the Vashon Fire Department is helping put this on, not to mention the Mobile Integrated Health and VARSA. And in the next couple of weeks, I would love to be able to have somebody from VARSA over here to tell you more about what that is in helping our youth, in educating them on drug awareness and drug prevention. And Jessica, are you aware of some of the programs that are offered through the school?
Well, they will be promoting the youth mental health first aid training, which they're also doing I believe they're also offering through the school. I took this training. I thought it was a really, really informative training. I thought it was really helpful. You can go to VARSA's website and sign up for it, and they will also be signing people up at the event on Saturday.
Very, very good to know. You know, some of the people out there that might not understand, well, a lot of us don't understand why people get involved with drugs, but it stems from a lot of different things. For some of it, it might have a genetic component, okay? For some, it could be generational trauma that has not healed through generation upon generation. It keeps getting carried over and carried over. And if a person doesn't do their healing work on their own, then that can continue to future generations.
Absolutely. I myself have been sober for over 9 years now. And I went a intergenerational trauma healing process. And we not only carry the trauma that we live and learn from generations before us, we actually even epigenetically carry trauma. So there's a lot of DNA evidence that shows that trauma changes our DNA, and then we carry that. When you look at certain populations like Holocaust survivors and indigenous groups like the Lakota, they carry 4 generations of PTSD that is much higher than almost any other population. In my family, we have 4 generations of diagnosed PTSD as well. My grandfather was a World War II hero, and it carried through the family, and my son is the 4th. So I really wanted to take a look with my sobriety and my recovery process at intergenerational trauma and how we heal from that. One of the great things, I just took a training from King County actually for 988 crisis work, is that in disability discrimination and in trauma discrimination, they say you have to switch the perspective, because what studying epigenetic trauma is teaching us is that it is actually a skilled adaptation. It is actually that we adjust and we learn new skills on how to survive when we go through trauma. And it's an advantage. And not only that, but more and more what they're seeing is that, like, for instance, intergenerational disability and intergenerational PTSD diagnosis has the skills that we actually need to keep environments healthy. So we need to promote those skills in the environment and see it not as a deficit, but as an actual skill that is adapted to help us.
Interesting. Well, I think one of the I was just thinking about this today. It's like, for instance, I also, as many people know, am in recovery. I'm in long-term recovery, and part of my wanting to eliminate the stigma around people in recovery or about recovery is telling people about it. I'm proud of my recovery. I'm alive today because I don't drink or use anymore. That's just my story. But I was thinking about recovery and the work that I've been able to be presented with in my own journey was being able to separate my needs from my wants. How comfortable are you with discomfort? Because discomfort is a way that we grow and the way we learn and the way we get through obstacles in our life. So sometimes, okay, I can use the example of being diabetic.
Yep.
I have a hard time walking by a bakery or a chocolate store without wanting to go in. And, well, let me get one of those cookies. And, oh, my God, those caramel rolls look good, too. Oh, you have cinnamon rolls? Yeah, throw one of those in the bag, too. Yeah. I mean, that's my natural go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's chocolate, look out. You know, it's not going to hurt to have. But then again, I'm not measuring my sugar levels, my glucose levels. And I also have, I'm also currently dealing with a foot injury, and you don't want to mess with that being diabetic. And I don't mean to make this my story right now, but I'm just setting an example to where I want that, but I need to not go there.
Yep.
If I want to not experience an amputation of a limb because of my diabetes, then I have to listen to my needs and not my wants. It's natural for me to want a cocktail, perhaps, if I'm out to dinner with friends where they serve drinks. But I don't want that because I remember what it was like and where the lows that had actually got me. And, you know, we have to play out the tape. Play out the tape.
I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for what your level of being uncomfortable is. And I'm a big believer in resilience psychology, you know, which is, you know, you have to build resilience so that you can understand the difference between wants and needs, so that you can understand the difference between being uncomfortable and being harmed. And then that helps really to break those patterns that we see as needs and wants.
Yep. We have to hurt in order to grow sometimes, but that is essential. It's like grieving somebody's loss. You know, some people might say, well, just suck it up. No, you know, you'll be fine. It's like, no. The level of crying and the level of pain you go through over losing somebody is directly reciprocal to the amount of love you had for that person. It's essential to go through that. Give yourself time. It's all a part of self-care. But we weren't taught a lot about self-care growing up.
True. That, yeah.
Suck
this
it up.
It's a new thing with self-care, yes.
And not just with men, with women too. It's really kind of a new, it's kind of a new ingenue. It's a new trend where look how many places are gaining popularity in self-care, spas, massage, all sorts of holistic health opportunities.
Yep.
I mean, for several years, it's been kind of the in thing to be in a 12-step program.
constant self-care and reflection is really, I think, is a really big part of the growth process. But it's also, you know, like we talked about earlier before the show, the biggest part of healing for me is in community service. You know, I come from a family of generations of community service to our island community, and in being in service and being in community service, that's how I heal and that's how I connect. But what I even tell my children is you can't help others if you don't love yourself, if you don't take care of yourself. You won't be able to. It will be too much. Their suffering will be too much burdensome. So it's really, really important to me when we dedicate ourselves to helping others that we prioritize taking care of ourselves.
That is so true. And I mean, it could be something as simple as on my way home last night, on the way to the South Ferry, there were two ladies, one on each side of the highway, with big garbage bags picking up garbage. They didn't have any.
Absolutely. That's why I say, too, it can be very simple.
Yeah, exactly. If you feel like being
services,
of service, you know, you don't
have
to be with an organized, with an organization to be able to go out and do that.
Right.
You know, several people like to volunteer at Granny's, and the ripple effect goes on and on and on and on and on.
Of course.
Granny's, for instance, I'm going to use them as an example. Granny's not only provides a lot of really cool clothing and objects to the public at a reduced price, but Granny's ends up donating thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to community services.
Absolutely.
Right here in Vashon.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not be aware of that.
Medical vouchers, rent assistance, bill assistance, they do amazing things.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, find a way to make a difference out there. I mean, we've been given so much. I'm pretty sure none of us, especially on Vashon, are ever going to starve to death. None of us are going to be completely homeless. If you need housing that bad, there's enough community service lines you can call where there is help out there. But you have to reach out. You have to be willing to ask for the help. I'm just finding out about a lot more housing events, our housing opportunities, not just here on Vashon, but also in Tacoma and other places. In fact, on a future show, I'm going to be having a gentleman that's the director at Tacoma Detox Facility and find out actually how easy it is just to get in there to get clean yourself up, you know, get that thinking process straightened back around again and maybe change some of the characters that we tend to surround ourselves with. You know, a big part of recovery is the only thing that has to change is everything. And it might sound simple, but it's not easy. It's, you know, changing the people, places, and things. Playmates, playthings, and playgrounds. So, you know, it's been a real joy with Jessica. I'm definitely going to have you back if you're open to it sometime.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Jessica is fourth generation Vashon resident. She's left for a while and brought back some fascinating stories of survival and growth and a lot of other things, too. And we may or may not get into that. But Jessica was making me aware of the fact that Vashon itself has its own generational trauma.
Yes, absolutely.
Island has got a very, very fascinating past.
It does. We've been a trafficking community for a very long time, actually. In the late 1890s, there was heroin coming in from China. During the Prohibition, we had a gin distillery down at Ellisport. So there's been arms trafficking and other trafficking. And so there's an interesting history that has, you know, culture that has developed from having those trafficking systems, which I think is actually a really important part of the education and awareness that our community needs now when we're trying to make sure that we're not turning a blind eye to those that need help, those that are experiencing drug addiction issues, those that are experiencing domestic violence. And other vulnerable aspects in our community.
And when you say vulnerable aspects, you were sharing some stories earlier about just kids being targeted as well.
Yes, unfortunately, there has been some groups of teenagers who've been kind of openly calling out that there are fentanyl dealers that are targeting our teenagers in the community, trying to sell them fentanyl, and have been loudly calling at them, and there's been retaliation against those kids, vandalism of bikes, fear, threats of intimidation, suspected roofing of drugs in our parks. So as a parent, I'm highly concerned about this pattern of retaliation that might be happening to our teenagers in our community. I know a lot of other parents are also concerned. There's been quite a bit on Vashon social pages. This has been happening down at Jensen Point during some of the rowing practices. There's been incidences in Fir Ridge. There's been incidences at the library parking lot in Ober Park. So we are trying to really build more awareness and really get together on a community awareness event, which we will have public health and King County Sheriff hopefully present, so that we can talk about as a community the kind of accountability that we feel that we need right now with some of the drug trafficking that is going on here.
And a big part of the accountability is let's look out for each other.
Absolutely.
Let's protect each other. If you see something that doesn't look right, address it. Don't be afraid. I mean, it's okay to be afraid, but still step forward or make a phone call or do whatever you need to do to help out our brothers and sisters.
Say something, do something. I'm working with Dove. We've been trying to bring some more bystander support into the community. I'm a big fan of learning how to do bystander support and changing the culture that way. And one of the things they say about a subconscious biases with bystander support is I'm going to do the wrong thing. You know, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to make the problem worse. The person isn't going to understand what I'm doing. And they say, think of all those things and then do something. Do something, do anything, because doing anything is better than doing nothing when it comes to the trauma that that person experiences.
And in future shows, we're going to be talking about exactly how you go about that and what you can do and how you can step in between a situation that is dangerous. So once again, Jessica, I'm so, so grateful for you to be here today.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about September 28th. That's coming up this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So drop in, talk with people from VARSA or Vashon Fire Department about the prevention of overdose death, and you just may be the one that's going to save the next person's life here on Vashon Island. So once again, Tom Walston bidding you a beautiful sunny afternoon here on Vashon on this Tuesday, and we're with you every Tuesday at 1:30 for a half hour with Adventures in Recovery. Thanks, everybody.